Well, the Lord be with you. Oh, yeah. I thought we learned this last week. All right, one more time. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time to gather and to hear a message from your word. And Father, I pray that your spirit would lead me today, and that I would speak your word and your truth, and that those that are here would hear this word, that they would receive it with joy and with gladness, and that they would apply it to their lives, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as many of you know, this is our Memorial Day weekend. And so tomorrow is actually Memorial Day. And on Memorial Day at 3 p.m., some of you may know this, there is a nationwide moment of silence at 3 p.m. tomorrow. They call it the Minute of Silence, in which everyone throughout the nation will remember, will honor, and will pray for those who have served our country in the military and have died while in service. So I'd like for us as a church today to take a brief moment of silence together, if you would, in which we pray for those families who have lost a loved one, and that we thank God for our freedom because of those people who have made such a great sacrifice. So if you would, if you just pray for those families with me in silence, think about them, thank God, let's just take this moment to honor those who have fallen. Thank you. So as I said, tomorrow is Memorial Day, but Memorial Day was not its original name. Early, following the events of the Civil War, Memorial Day was originally deemed as Decoration Day, and it was coined by a general of the North, and maybe you have heard of this general before. His name is John A. Logan, who is actually the name of our college, who is just right next door to us. But General John A. Logan found that it would be very important that we would set aside a specific time each year as a holiday and a memorial in which we remember those who have served this country and have died on our behalf. And as I was looking into the history and to the different wars that we have fought over the years, I just began to think and reflect on the great sacrifice that so many have made for this country. And I just thought to myself, can you imagine being a mother or a father saying goodbye to their son or their daughter as they go off to war? And then they never come back home. Can you imagine there being a father who just had a newborn baby born, and then he has to go off to war? He has all these plans of the future that he might have with his wife and his new baby, but he never gets to come back home. He doesn't get to see his child grow up. Or maybe someone that just got engaged or just got married, and they have this whole future ahead of them, but they go to war and they make the ultimate sacrifice. See, these people that have died, that we remember on Memorial Day, these individuals gave the ultimate sacrifice. They gave up their hopes, their dreams, their loved ones, and ultimately, they gave up their life. So I think that it's very important that we will take the time tomorrow. And if you do spend some time with your family and enjoy the day, that's perfectly fine. But take some time to remember and thank God for these people that made this great sacrifice. But you might wonder, why? Why are these people so willing to give up even their lives in war? Why would they do such a thing? Well, it's for one specific word, and that's the word that I'd like us to think about today. The reason that they sacrifice, give their lives, is for freedom. They understand when they march off to war, when they're in the battle, when they know that maybe they aren't going to come home, they are doing it for freedom. Because they understand how important, how essential freedom is to the human person. And I think that many of us have probably thought more and more about our freedoms in this past couple of months than we have in a long, long time. Due to the pandemic and with COVID, we've had certain freedoms that have been limited at this time. And I think many of us have forgotten maybe to value the freedoms that we may have taken for granted in the past. Just simply going to a restaurant with loved ones to have a nice night of fellowship may have been taken for granted. The ability to just come into your church doors may have been taken for granted. Or maybe just being able to hug a baby or your grandmother or your grandfather. These little freedoms that are so important to this nation have been limited for a time. And I understand that there's a freedom debate that's going on through the news and through social media. And I don't mean to be partaking of that debate. But I do think that many of us can learn from this time and learn that we should be more appreciative of the freedoms that we do have and that we should value them. And I understand some of you might be thinking, yes, we do need to value them and we need to continue to fight any oppressing governing authorities. Or you might think that there are certain things that have been done that are unconstitutional. Or you might be thinking, no, this was a necessary thing that we needed to do to fight the pandemic and to save lives. Like I said, I'm not here to debate with you all. I'm not here to get into the temptations that are on social media in which we get so divisive, so hateful whenever we come into these discussions. I think we all on both sides can recognize that freedom is important and that we need to value that freedom and that we hope something like this will never happen again in our history. And some of you might be thinking, well, we do need to speak truth. We need to speak for truth. And that's why maybe you've been constantly discussing through social media or on your phones or however you may do it. And I'm not going to discourage you to say speak for truth. But there are some, I think, that have allowed this to overwhelm their thoughts, overwhelm their life. And if you are one of those people in which that's all you can think about, that's all you can post about, that's all you can talk about, I want to call you to get your eyes focused back on the Lord. And I want you to remind you to trust in God. And the same for that person who thinks that we don't need to discuss it at all, who thinks that this shouldn't be a topic that's worth discussing in any forum. I want that person to also turn from those thoughts and to trust in God. And for that person out there who might be really anxious that they are hearing the potential that more freedoms might be taken, I understand that there was a vote that was going on this past week. And I know many persons that were being worried and concerned and anxious over this vote. many that I know as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So some Christians I'm seeing are being overwhelmed by worry and anxiety. And I want to call you, for those, if you are one of those people who have stressed or been struggling with that anxiety, to remember Philippians 4 verse 6, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This text reminds us that of all the things that we're allowed to be anxious for, what does he say? He says, there's nothing that we can be anxious over. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving of heart, let your requests be made known to God. So I want to remind anyone who might be struggling with anxiety, with worry, with frustration during this time and with the conversations going on about our freedoms being taken from us. Our freedom is very, very important. Don't get me wrong. But do not be anxious. Do not be worried. Speak truth, but trust God and turn to Him. Let Him know your worries. Let Him know your cares. Trust them to Him because He cares for you. And if you're someone that can't get away from this in your mind, in your heart, I want to call you to turn off the news for a while. I want to call you to fast from Facebook. Take some time to remember the Lord, to be in prayer, to be in Scripture, to be present with those who are around you. And I want to remind you that there's a greater freedom than even what this country can give you. And that's ultimately what I want to talk to you all about today. Because this greater freedom that the Bible promises us, our freedom is in Christ. And I'm going to be reading out of John chapter 8 today, verses 31 to 36, if you'd like to turn there with me. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. And it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, the Son, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" What this text reminds us, as regardless of your circumstances, even if every single constitutional freedom is stripped away from you, if you are a Christian, you are free indeed. Our ultimate freedom is spiritual. And this ultimate freedom comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us on the cross. And by doing so, he reminds us that we are free from sin and death. It's funny, in Philippians 4, 6, when Paul was writing about being anxious for nothing, the context of when he was writing, if you are aware, he was in prison. He's writing to a church while all of his friends have been taken away. I think Paul completely understood that freedom was important. But this is a guy who's in prison, writing to encourage others and say, don't forget. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in the news. Don't get caught up in your circumstances. Don't be anxious. Trust God, because he knew of what John 8 says here. He knew that our ultimate freedom is in Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, and if you are in Christ, if you have abided in his truth, if you have submitted your life to the gospel message and to the word of God as your authority, you have nothing to be anxious about because you have eternal freedom. See, the freedoms of this nation, as I continue to say, are so, so important. I value the freedoms that make this country great. But these freedoms, they're temporary. There might be one day in which America does not exist anymore. Now, I hope that does never occur, but it's possible. The Word of God does not promise to sustain America, but he does promise to keep those in Christ free. So we have the joy of the Lord from the fact that you have been lifted up. The chains of sin and death have been taken away. And I want to remind you of that fact. You are not bound by your past mistakes. If you are someone that is in Christ, don't allow the enemy to condemn you, to make you feel as if you are inferior. Don't let the enemy trick you into thinking that the chains are still on. The Savior wants you to be free, and he wants you to live a life in accordance with that fact. Because Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, it says this: you are more than conquerors in Christ. And then he tells us that he is persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ, the power of his gospel message, and your eternal freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let your circumstances define you. Don't let your past haunt you. You are made new in Christ. There is nothing that can bind your spirit. As Uncle Dan said today, as we sang the Spirit and Truth, it reminds us, because of worship being spirit and truth, there's nothing that this world can do to bind it. Your spirit cannot be chained up or thrown in jail. Your spirit soars. Your spirit is free because of what Christ did on the cross and his resurrection. And it reminds us, as we remembered on Easter Sunday, of our victory. Jesus died on the cross. He took your sin on the cross. That sin is taken care of. Jesus is no longer in the grave. The tomb is empty. He has the keys of death. You are not bound by sin or death anymore. You are more than conquerors. You are free in Christ. And I want to remind you that Christ will return. He promises us time and time again throughout Scripture that the Lord will return for his church. And he will make things right. So if you're overly concerned and think, well, one day I would like for our physical freedoms to be eternal as well. Well, I can assure you, you will be free indeed. Christ will make things all right. Because he will rule. He will have his millennial kingdom. He will give us eternal life, and we will be in glory with him forever. You are free in Christ. So we have been given Christian liberty. We are free. But the Bible does remind us of one thing. There is one thing you, as the church, are not free to do. And that thing is, you are not free to sin. I'm going to read two verses in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and verse 13. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." We're reminded in this text that we are not free to sin. The church of Galatia, in which Paul was writing to here, he was aware that this church was being tempted and was having the tendency to maybe want to revert back to the Jewish law, in which they felt like they would have to be obedient in some sense to the law to have or merit eternal life or salvation. This is something that we saw in the rich young ruler. But he reminds us that if you continue to try to put yourself back under the law, that you aren't able to enjoy the freedoms that come in grace. You have to remember that you are free in Christ. You are not free in your own meritorious works. But then we also see in verse 13 that we cannot allow our liberty to be an opportunity for the flesh. What that means is you cannot be someone who uses "I am free in Christ" as an opportunity to just serve your own sinful pleasures. You cannot allow the world to shape your theology. You must remember that the truth is what sets you free in Christ. The truth of God, the truth of His Word. So we need to remember that when we are free, you are not free to be self-seeking. You are called to, how are you called to use your freedoms here? We see you are called to love and serve one another. That is how you're called to use your freedoms in Christ. So if your freedom is ever not in service or in love for one another, then you are not seeking true freedom in which Christ calls us to. And He calls us to stand fast into that liberty. And He says, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. There are some here today that are dealing and struggling and maybe embracing some secret sins in their lives. And I might not know your heart. I might not know everything that goes on in your life. But God does. God sees your sin, and He calls you to stand fast in your Christian liberty. Do not go back and revert to slavery. Do not allow sin to overcome you. There's a good analogy in which I have heard in regards to understanding the sacrifice that Christ made and how He gave us freedom, and then how you can abuse this freedom, and how it was just a spit or a slap in the face to our Lord when we choose to go back to sin. It's a story in which there's a father and he goes on a camping trip with his son. And as they're setting up the tent and getting everything prepared for the firewood and everything, the father points out to the lake there and he says, "Son, don't go out, don't take the boat out into the water. There's some dangerous crocodiles out there. And I want you to make sure that you stay safe with me over here." So the father continues to make the tent and get everything prepared for their camping trip as they're enjoying the nice weather out. And it's not long before the father turns around and his son is nowhere to be found. He looks out into the water and he sees his son far out in the boat. It's not long before the son tips over the boat and falls in the water. Then the father immediately runs to protect his child. The son, through all the panic, loses consciousness. But then all of a sudden, he wakes up on the beach, very confused, not knowing what had happened. He looks over to his father laying next to him, who had been brutally and mortally wounded by the crocodiles in which he warned him about. The father died protecting the son. But then the son gets back in the boat and goes back out into the water. That's what it's like for a Christian who has been made free to go back and to be a slave to sin. Your father has made a way for you to be saved. That is the worst thing that we can do, to go back into something that our Lord and our Savior has made us free of. We need to honor God with our freedoms. We need to remember the great sacrifice that He made on our behalf. We are called to love and to serve one another, and by doing so, we bring honor and glory to our Father in heaven. But you might be someone out there who said, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I want to experience that Christian liberty. I want to feel and have that freedom. I don't want to continue to go back and back and back to sin. If you are that person, I want to remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It reminds us that with God, there is always a way of escape. There is always a way to freedom through our Lord and our Savior. But you have to seek Him. You have to be willing to sacrifice certain things in our lives for that freedom. You have to be willing to sacrifice your sin. Let Christ have it. Let Him take it on the cross for you. Be free. Be free. That is what Christ has in store for His church, freedom. And this leads us to our time in which we will partake of communion together. So if you'd like to prepare that, and I would like to remind all who are visitors today, there is a clear seal at the top in which it has the bread there available for you as well as the cup. But as we have reflected on Memorial Day, we've thought about the importance of freedom and how Christ brings us the ultimate eternal freedom. And we are reminded not to resort back to sin. Do not be bound by sin. As we reflect and remember these things, we remember that Jesus went to war for us. Jesus went to the battlefield. He defeated the enemy for us. He defeated sin and death. And He made the ultimate sacrifice. John 15:13 tells us, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. The ultimate demonstration of love. Communion reminds us of that good soldier, Jesus Christ. So as we partake of communion today, it is a memorial in which we thank God. We honor God. We remember that the bread represents the body of Christ, who stepped off and marched to the battlefield for us. And we remember the cup because it reminds us of the shed blood that He gave that covers every single sin. There's not one sin that you can do that does not get covered by the blood of Christ. How many many of our sins were future from the day of the cross? Every single one of them. And every single sin from the future now on also is covered. So when we remember the bread, we remember the cup, we remember the great sacrifice. So as we will say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we are free to partake, remember that this memorial proclaims our freedom. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You're coming up to lead us in one more song of praise and worship. If you are here that has never been truly free in Christ, and if you accept Him today as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to bow to me once more and say this simple prayer so that you can obtain that eternal freedom. So if you'd like to accept Christ, this prayer. Lord God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to turn from my sins today and trust in you. I want to receive as my Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died for my sins. And I believe that He and He will. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like for you to come into talk with us. If you'd like to reach us through our phone number on our website at fellowshipinchrist.org, we'd love to move forward and discuss your journey with Christ and to have you be baptized. Please follow us as we now will close with our praise and worship song today.
Morning, everybody. We're